Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, we all need a lot of help these days. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. A Swedish newspaper has discovered a RAND report that suggests it was the think tank's plot to weaken Germany and the EU by provoking Russia into attacking Ukraine. The RAND Corp claims that this report is false, but it sounds highly plausible. The resulting damage to the EU members, particularly Germany, would undermine the EU's political power and potential for pursuing policies independent of the U.S., would trigger an outflow of capital and skilled labor from Europe to the U.S., and that would be the benefit, even though it caused chaos in the United States. I wouldn't be surprised. Meanwhile, Russian troops are taking control in Ukraine, contrary to the reports you're hearing. They hit 12 Ukrainian command posts. The waves of Ukrainian assault teams are mounting botched raids. It's really bizarre what's going on here. I have reports that, in fact, the Ukrainian troops are like zombies, that they're standing up, making themselves very easy targets for annihilation, and it appears they're being put on drugs, whether they're hallucinogenic or methamphetamines may not be clear, but that's the latest I have here. Meanwhile, Ukrainian units are surrounded near the borders of the Kherson region, which I've suggested was what was in fact taking place. Now, you want to bear in mind that what's actually taking place with the Russian intervention in Ukraine is in opposition to the New World Order. Well, it's generally being perceived as though it were a more restricted action. In fact, what's going on here is of tremendous importance to the entirety of the world, and not just Ukraine. Reinhard Fulmich has given a recent report talking about the stages of the attempt to take over the world, beginning with destabilization, restricting economic freedom, increasing the volume of money, printing these massive spending bills, producing conflict, promoting fear. We have that going on massively. We have the flooding of the borders, which appears to be intended to bring about permanent changes in the United States, overregulation of the current legal system. Well, that has multiple aspects. Really, turning criminals out onto the street has become the Democratic policy for the United States, creating massive chaos. The deconstruction includes inflation, lower purchasing power, bankruptcy, restriction of economic freedom, suspension of current arrangement systems, that would be including financing. They want to have a new financial system as part of the reconstruction. It may be coming already in November. Where then the New World Order is going to step in as a savior in times of need to offer universal basic income. Everyone's going to get income. No one even has to work. Centralized through a supranational structure, the ultimate outcome being control of all resources of the world, transfer of personal responsibility, because we'll all be functioning as serfs and slaves, global laws run by the World Economic Forum on behalf of the Rothschilds. Bear in mind, I think great plausibility is advanced here, that Vladimir Putin is fighting a war on behalf of all of humanity, where Jacob Rothschild has declared that Vladimir Putin is an enemy of the New World Order, and that the New World Order cannot proceed without Ukraine. So in my judgment, Vladimir Putin is fighting the great fight, not just on behalf of Russia, where there were more than sufficient reasons for the intervention, as he laid out in his magisterial speech of February 24th, where he characterized the West as an empire of lies, where the biolabs, I mean, it had a whole lot to do, of course, with the overthrow of the pro-Western government in 2014, which was financed with $5 billion of taxpayer dollars, carried out by Victoria Nuland. They even brought in Russian weapons from the past to be used to fire on demonstrators who were protesting the events in Ukraine at the time, to blame it on Russia. But it was all a ruse, a classic false flag. And since the coup in 2014, there's been endless shelling in the Donbass region, which is overwhelmingly ethnically Russian, Russian speakers. Thousands have died from the artillery. Ukraine was threatening to become a member of NATO. That was a bottom line issue from Russia. And a special military operation was conducted to not characterize it as an act of war, though it has many of those aspects. Ukrainians have been fighting back using Western equipment, Western advisors, and all that. But it appears, as Scott Ritter observed, which we discussed Friday, that the Russians are overwhelmingly better prepared and better equipped to fight these wars, where even if all of NATO were to become involved, NATO might be able to hold up for a week, but would ultimately collapse. And I think the United States would fare no better. Now, we have some interesting developments regarding the FBI raid, where my belief is the entire matter is subject to being tossed, because as I've emphasized before, it was too broad. It was an overly broad warrant. Now, when you have a warrant, it has to be done with such specificity that there's no other location that could possibly be the subject of the search, where the documents or the objects being sought for are uniquely described, where there's a standard process for handling all this material. Now, here we have Kevin Brock, a former head of the FBI, that the search warrant may be tossed out of court. We know, of course, a judge has now ordered a special master. The Department of Justice is appealing that it's going to interfere with their criminal investigation and review of classified documents, but the Department of Justice is taking for granted the status of the documents as being classified. The president has the ultimate authority to declassify. It's a major flaw in the DOJ attempt to thwart these efforts. It looks like they're going to be completely successful. The judge, yes, is a former FISA judge, Raymond Deary, but what that means is he's been played before. I do not believe he would be willing to be played again. So while the DOJ may think he's some kind of pushover for them, I doubt very much that that is the case. What we have going on with Kevin Brock, therefore, is the observation that this is really far too broad a warrant from the beginning. The breadth they were seeking was every single document generated during the Trump administration, which was preposterous in its reach. There are now even additional signs the FBI collected more than they were permitted to collect. He believes a warrant may be suppressed altogether. If he's a prosecutor, he's concerned that it could happen. They'd lose access to everything collected as what's known as the fruit of a poisonous tree. That's got to be at the back of their minds. The standard operating procedure is to begin with the least invasive course of action feasible. When asked to explain how these searches generally take place, he explained you go into a home, put up a system where everything you see is diligently documented. They're provided with a unique tracking number and a barcode. Before you leave the premises, each component is scrutinized in detail to ensure it falls within the parameters of the document. We got more background noise, I'm sorry to say. I'm not sure of its source. Mitchell's trying to contain it, but not with success. Pretty odd. That's only part of the story, by the way. You have to be not unduly wide as to what parts of the residence can be searched, only the areas where it makes search. That means going into Melania's closet and her drawers is simply preposterous and beyond the scope. Because the judge who's been handling this very, very appropriately, I'm very impressed with the way she's been handling this, appointed the special master and required his report to be back to her around the 24th of November. That's well after the midterm election. I think there's just no prospect that this is going to have a significant effect on the midterm beyond whatever effect it may have already had. Meanwhile, we have a report that Chuck Schumer has been overheard telling Nancy Pelosi privately that the Democrats are going to lose in the midterm. According to the Real Clear Politics average of polls, and they do polls of polls, Biden has a 42% approval rating and 52.8% unfavorable. Kamala has a favorable of 36.3% and a negative of 51.2%. Now, that difference is, you know, how much they're in the tank. Politically, personally, I do not believe Biden's actual approval rating could be higher than 12%. You'd have to be an idiot to be supporting this guy at this point in time. Now, there may be a lot of idiots in the United States, but, you know, I think virtually everyone despises this guy. And by the way, let me add in relation to that, the flood of migrants, which is such a massive problem. There are some who believe that, in fact, what we're seeing, the introduction of the new North American Union, remember, Bill Clinton was all for it, Barack Obama all for it. It looks as though just basically erasing the borders is part and parcel of creating the new world order. Now, Governors DeSantis and Abbott have responded to this in a highly appropriate manner, in my estimation, by sending busloads to the home of the vice president, which is a naval observatory in Washington, D.C., busloads. And where DeSantis effected a brilliant move by sending two planes with 50 migrants to Martha's Vineyard, which is the home of the elite of the elite. Bill Clinton and Hillary have homes on Martha's Vineyard. Barack Obama and Michelle have homes on Martha's Vineyard. Oprah has a home on Martha's Vineyard. So what happened there? Well, the Martha, they got him off of the island at the fastest possible opportunity. They called that the National Guard. I mean, it was really stunning hypocrisy. Where they even have signs, you know, claiming how welcoming and supportive they are of immigrants. But that's when they aren't responsible for any of it. And among the most ludicrous responses to all of this has come from AOC, Occasional Cortex, as she's known. Get this from Political Insider. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez accused Governors Abbott and DeSantis of committing crimes against humanity by sending illegal immigrants to deep blue sanctuary cities, which says a lot about those locations. The New York socialist sent out a series of tweets in which he blasted DeSantis and Abbott for their tactics in deal with illegal immigrants by shipping them out of the respective states of Texas and Florida. It's appalling that far-right politicians seem to have decided that just before an election is a regularly scheduled time to commit crimes against humanity on refugees, she tweeted last week. What's truly appalling is there's no level of hyperbole or exaggeration the former bartender is unwilling to use to believe she's making a point. Reducing the seriousness of actual people who commit actual crimes against humanity by making this trivializing comparison. What an absurd claim. Occasional Cortex also accused Governor DeSantis and Abbott of trafficking people to get clicks. AOC said that, completely oblivious to the irony she was using by abusing phrases like crimes against humanity and trafficking herself as a way to get social media clout from progressives. Her comments also demonstrate there is a dime's worth of difference between the extreme elements of her party and the mainstream. California Governor Newsom, for example, a Democrat considered as a viable presidential option should Biden not run in 2024. 2024 also ramped up the dumbed-down rhetoric by writing a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland suggesting he pursue kidnapping charges against DeSantis for flying illegals to Martha's Vineyard, by the way, all of which was done in accordance with the law. They all signed consent forms. They all agreed to be flown and all that. I mean, the kidnapping charge is just ludicrous. Meanwhile, Martha's Vineyard removed them in a flash. In further embarrassing comments, AOC praised rich white progressives on Martha's Vineyard for their response to the influence of just a few dozen illegal immigrants, saying her party understands that immigrants and refugees are a blessing. DeSantis sent two planes of illegal immigrants to the island last week, prompting officials there to declare the relatively minuscule number to be an unexpected urgent humanitarian situation. Contrary to AOC's assertion, they weren't considered to be a blessing and were quickly removed from the island by the Massachusetts National Guard to a military base within 48 hours. When DeSantis flew them to an affluent playground for the rich and famous, in other words, it was a crime against humanity. When the rich and famous shipped them the hell off their island, it's a demonstration that liberals find them to be a blessing. Sure thing. Back in the day, BB, or before Biden, AOC would have equated moving illegal immigrants to a military base to sending them to concentration camps. Wonder what the difference this time around. Crimes against humanity are actually quite serious, and, you know, the situation here is simply ludicrous. Here's a wiki depiction. Crimes against humanity are certain acts reportedly committed by a state or on behalf of a state as part of a widespread or systematic policy, typically directed against civilians in times of war or of peace. The violent nature of such acts are considered a severe breaching of human rights, hence the name. They differ from war crimes because they are not isolated acts committed by individual soldiers, but are acts committed in furtherance of a state or organizational policy. The first prosecution for crimes against humanity took place during the Nuremberg trials, initially being considered for legal use widely in international law following the Holocaust. A global standard of human rights was articulated in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights of 1948. Political groups or states that violate or incite violence of human rights norms, as founded in the Declaration, are an expression of the political pathologies associated with crimes against humanity. Let me comment on several aspects of this. Notice they require violent action. The violent nature of such acts are considered a severe breaching of human rights, hence the name. There was nothing violent about loading 50 immigrants aboard two planes and flying them to Martha's Vineyard. I mean, it's a luxurious, among the most opulent locations in the United States. How that could be considered a crime against humanity defies anyone's imagination. It's AOC's penchant for becoming hysterical, as other Democrats become hysterical anytime there's a challenge to any of their deeply held beliefs, even though and no matter how contradictory they may be contradicted by the actual behavior the Democrats themselves are displaying. In addition, we have, of course, the use of the trials at the Nuremberg tribunals, which were brought against purported Nazi war criminals, largely because of the concentration camps, but where it turns out that if you do the research, if you look into, you know, Robert Forresson's work, for example, on Hollywoodism and revisionist history, it turns out that those camps were not, in fact, death camps. They were labor camps, and there were no facilities that could have remotely functioned as gas chambers when Ernst was put on trial in Canada twice. The first trial in 1985 was distinguished by the failure of the prosecution to produce even a single witness to testify to seeing anyone put to death in a gas chamber, in the second, in 1988, by the Fred Lochter report, where he was the leading expert on gas chambers in the United States, traveled to Germany, investigated the purported facilities, and came back to report there was nothing there at the camps he'd inspected that could possibly have served as gas chambers. Where, however, they were using Zyklon B to kill body lice for the reason that the lice were spreading typhus and dysentery in the camps. They wanted to maintain the health of the inmates for the obvious reason that you can't get work out of a corpse. Now, if you want to know nice examples of war crimes, look at the Allied bombing of German cities, Dresden, Cologne. One after another were reduced to ash. This was a deliberate massacre of hundreds of thousands of Germans by the Allies bombing these civilian cities massively. In fact, the bombings were so extensive they interdicted the railroad lines and made it impossible to resupply the camps with food. That was not the Nazi policy. That was not Hitler's objective. He wanted them to be maintained to assist with a war effort. And typically, they were located in relation to major war facilities, such as ammunition depots, where they could assist in producing the weapons of war. But it led to the interdiction of the railroad lines. They were unable to resupply the camps. So when they were finally liberated, it turned out a whole lot of the inmates were in a state of starvation, but not as a matter of policy, as a consequence of the effect of the policies of the Allies by bombing the German cities, which was a crime against humanity. Here's another example. After the war, Eisenhower, who was a supreme commander of NATO at the time, had a huge open prisoner of war camps where they had hundreds of thousands of Nazi soldiers who'd served in the war who were allowed to starve to death. Now, there's a very nice example of a crime against humanity. Check it out. Don't take my word for any of this. If you want to learn more about the purported Holocaust, check out my piece entitled The Holocaust Narrative, Politics, Trump, Science, so you can be informed, because this is one of the mega hoaxes that's been perpetrated on the world throughout recent history, another being the moon landing hoax, another being Lee Oswald as a lone assassin at JFK, another meaning 19 Islamic terrorists under the control of a guy off a cave in Afghanistan being responsible for 9/11. Are being played again and again and again, most recently by a spate of pseudo-trials related to skeptics of Sandy Hook, where they've been decided again and again on procedural grounds, where the question of whether anybody died at Sandy Hook has never been subjected to a judicial determination. The cases have been decided by stipulation or agreement or default. Outrageous. Bang. After this break.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, if you want to get a sense of the idiocy of the Democrat political position these days, Governor Newsom of California has signed the most aggressive package of green laws of any state in the union, a sweeping package to commit to non-conventional energy sources. It 40 bills that provide new green rules on laws related to everything ranging from large-scale industry to the family home to private and public transportation. He said that it focuses on cutting pollution and targeting big polluters. Coming as America's most populous state struggles to provide stable electricity for residents amid a heat wave, which saw the state asking residents to use less power for air conditioners and not charge electric cars, which was ironic because in the space of about 10 days, he went from announcing that California will only allow new electric vehicles in the state as of 2035. To acknowledging a few days later that there was a shortage of electricity and asking everyone not to charge their electric vehicles. I mean, what the hell is supposed to happen on this California freeways where I grew up? There are 8-10 lanes each side in both directions, north, south. I mean, it's east, west. It's just outrageous. This month has been a wake-up call for all of us that later is too late to act on climate change, except the whole business about climate change is based on the false claim that the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere is a causal factor in relation to global warming, when if you review 600 million years of history of the Earth, there's not even a correlation between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of the Earth. And if there is no correlation, then there can be no causation. Remember, I mean, cause-effect, you got to have the cause to be present to have the effect. But if you have no global warming, no CO2 correlated with global warming, you obviously do not have a cause and effect relationship. So the whole thing is massive. I believe that it's part of the New World Order that the whole green agenda is to destroy the energy resources of the various states to deprive, you know, individuals of freedom and mobility. I cannot imagine anything Americans prize more than their automobiles. And, you know, it allows you to get around, to go from point A to point B, to take off whenever you want. It's a, when we talk about the distinction, this is a philosophical distinction between freedom and what's known as effective freedom. Freedom mm-hmm. generally is absence of compulsion and constraint. You know, you're free as a person to act when you're not compelled to act one way rather than another. You're not constrained from acting the way you'd prefer to be. And there's often a discussion about individuals being free, but there's a difference between, you know, having a absence of compulsion or constraint in a broad sense, and actually being able to accomplish your goals. To be this is why the rich have more effective freedom than the poor. The rich can do more things because they have the resources to do things, that they are less constrained economically. Therefore, they are able to exercise greater freedom. There's no more important element of effective freedom for ordinary Americans than their automobiles. I mean, it's just the fact of the matter. So that when you're going to destroy the automobiles, especially when it turns out that the gas oil from which gasoline is produced is a boundless resource, and it's produced naturally by Earth, that it's not a fossil fuel, as we've so often in the past been told, that was just a theory that's been long since falsified, refuted. That oil is produced naturally by Earth. That means there's a superabundance of oil and gasoline. We have vast experience with oil and gasoline engines, motors, leaf blowers, snow blowers, all gas operated. We know what to do with gas powered. With electric, it's a totally different situation. And where the hell do you think that electricity comes from? It has to be powered generally, if not by hydroelectric. And it's true, dams do generate a lot of electricity, but it's generally by burning coal and gas and oil. In other words, the purported benefits of electricity are very, very dubious. Not only that, electricity is difficult to store. Batteries are very complicated, and it turns out the batteries in electric cars are vastly expensive. The average cost of electric car today is around $64,000. If you have to replace a battery, it's like on the order of $27,000. They have limited range. You got to stop and recharge your battery. And most significantly, it takes hours to recharge your battery. This is not something that can be done in a matter of minutes, as with a gas-powered vehicle. So when you start adding up the pros and cons, it turns out everything weighs against electric vehicles. But that's not the way the Democrats are playing it. The governor named a list of the 40 Green New Bills, which touch on things from the broad scope of the climate to everyday matters, such as community air quality, electricity supply, vehicle permits, and gas priming. Some of the bills include the California Climate Crisis Act, Clean Transportation Program, Project Funding Preferences, Community Emission Reduction Program, Toxic Air Contaminants and criteria, air pollutants, solid waste, vehicle, bicycle, omnibus bill, energy, electric vehicle, charging standards, sales and use taxes, exemptions, California hybrid and zero emission truck and bus voucher incentive project, transit buses, Carl Moyer Memorial Air Quality Standards Attainment Program, vehicle registration fees, California tire fee, electricity, electrical transmission facilities, electrical appliance standards, more and more and more. The latest pronouncement comes on the heels of Newsom enacting regulation to phase out sales of new gas-powered cars by 2035. Now, as that were not bad enough, we have even the governor right here in Wisconsin, where I reside, releasing hundreds of convicted murderers and child rapists for given early parole. This is by the governor of Wisconsin. His name is Edwards. He's a mediocrity. Listen, since 2019, during his first term as governor, at least 884 convicted prisoners have been released under the Evers Parole Commission, including more than 300 convicted murderers, attempted murderers, and child rapists. This is a Democrat way. This is their policy. Democrats and many Republicans have taken up a call to arms against the criminal justice system, often calling for reforms such as reduced sentencing and early release of nonviolent offenders or minor drug possession charges, etc. However, at least publicly, most also agree charges should not benefit murderers, rapists, and other violent offenders. But that's not what's happening. The list from 2019 through 2021 includes some of the most brutal killers in Wisconsin history and some of the most high profile. The cases span the state from Kenosha to Rib Mountain. Wisconsin right now, an organization following these matters, has documented through a public records request. These were discretionary paroles. That means the Evers Barnes Administration Parole Commission chairman made a choice to release these criminals. Many were serving life sentences, which do not qualify for mandatory release. In other cases, the spreadsheet of paroles provided by the Parole Commission did not include mandatory release inmates. In other words, the Evers Barnes Administration could have kept these criminals behind bars, but made a purposeful decision not to do so. Here's a list. First-degree intentional homicide, they released 171. First-degree reckless homicide, they released 62. Felony murder, they released 18. Second-degree intentional homicide, 18. Second-degree reckless homicide, 3. Homicide by intoxicated use of vehicle, 2. First-degree sexual assault, 24. Second-degree sexual assault, 15. First-degree sexual assault of child, 26. Second-degree sexual assault of child, 5. Repeated sexual assault of same child, 13. How brutal are these killers? Carl Belensky, then 39, of Oconomowoc, shot and decapitated his bank manager wife, Kathleen, with a large kitchen knife and then tried to burn her head in a wood-burning stove in 1982. Newspaper articles from the same say that Belensky, who was worried she was going to leave him, placed Kathleen's headless body in the trunk of a car, dumped the body in a cornfield, and then went to get drunk. Belensky, now 79, was paroled in August of 2019 by the Evers administration and now lives in Hanley, Wisconsin. There are many cases that rival Belensky's in their outright brutality, and don't think they're all old. The average age of the released killers and attempted killers is 54, and they range in age from 39 to 79, even though they been out for only 3 years at the most. 16 have already been reoffended or violated terms of their parole, including one accused of a strangulation. This is just absurd. And similar things are happening in other Democrat-controlled states. Here we have a report about Illinois. Get this. 100 of 102 Illinois state attorneys oppose cashless bail, letting second-degree murderers out of jail. I mean, in Wisconsin, we're even letting out first-degree. No cash bail means that criminals are able to go out and be able to commit their crime and harass and attack the same people, the reason why they were in jail in the first place, said Representative Rodney Davis of Republican. Here's the report. 100 of the 102 state's attorneys in Illinois are opposed to the state's new cashless bail provisions, which are set to take effect next year for crimes such as second-degree murder. The state's new criminal justice reform law, the Illinois Safety, Accountability, Fairness, and Equity Today, or SAFE-T Act, is a 764-page omnibus bill that was passed by the state Senate at 4 a.m. on the last day of a lame duck legislative session, passed by the state House less than 24 hours later. Governor J.B. Pritzker, who's a complete blooming idiot, signed the measure into law in January 2021. But provisions such as abolishing cash bail, not allowing trespassers to be removed from property by police, will go into effect on January 1st at 2023. Did you get that? Not allowing trespassers to be removed from property by police? Some county and village boards, such as Boone County and Orland Park Village, have unanimously approved resolutions to repeal or change the Safety Act. According to a press release from the Orland Park Village Board, a suburb of Chicago, cash bail will be abolished for crimes such as kidnapping, armed robbery, second-degree murder, drug-induced homicide, aggravated DUI, threatening a public official, and aggravated fleeing and eluding. Orland Park Mayor Keith Percow, Republican, reported on Just the News, Not Noise TV show that cashless bail isn't the only issue or problem with the law. It's the fact that trespassers cannot be removed from your property by police, Percow said. They can't lay a hand on someone. So how are you going to get someone who's living in your shed or in your pool or took camped in your business to actually leave? And it's going to lead to people taking the law into their own hands, which I don't think any of us thinks is a really good idea. The law also negatively impacts police officers, as anonymous complaints are now accepted, can be used to besmirch officers when they go to testify. This bill not only enables criminals, it really targets police to try to drive them out of the profession. And frankly, I don't know how we're going to get good police officers to stay or get people who will be good officers in the future to join with laws like this in place. Representative Rodney Davis, another Republican, reported, "No cash bail means criminals are able to go out and be able to commit their crimes and harass and attack the same people who are the reason they were in jail in the first place." Davis said, well, he believes in criminal justice reform, doesn't want people to be charged with, who are charged with lesser crimes, to be in jail longer than those committed who commit worse crimes, but have more money to make bail. This is a step too far. This is where criminals are going to be coddled. Criminals in Illinois are going to have the upper hand. The increase in crime in Democrat-leaning areas will lead to Republican victories in the midterm elections, Davis predicted. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Ever since the Defund the Police movement initiated with the encouragement from prominent Democrats like Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi, who said she doesn't understand why there weren't more protests like that, which were utterly lawless, arson, looting, vandalism. I mean, it was grotesque. It went on the entire summer with the encouragement of Democrats, and there was virtually no arrests or prosecutions. Frankly, I think that indelibly tarnished the Democrat brand. And the idea that this brainless Biden comes out and says, now, we want to fund the police, not defund the police, cannot compensate. Their actions have spoken so much louder than their words, just as whisking those pesky migrants off of Martha's Vineyards within 48 hours by calling out the National Guard for a humanitarian crisis. Ted Cruz has pointed out, to put this in perspective, Martha's Vineyard went into meltdown over 50 residents, 50. Del Rio, Texas had 15,000 Haitians descend on the town in a single day. 15,000 Haitians descended on Del Rio, Texas in a single day. I believe that the border state governors are completely justified to transport all these illegals to blue states. I mean, when they declare themselves to be sanctuary states, that means they're willing to take and harbor and nurture and support those who come to those states. Well, these red states aren't sanctuary states, and it's absurd to suppose they ought to be obligated just because Biden has opened the floodgate in an apparent effort to promote the North American Union. This is changing the demographics of the United States permanently, forever, mind you. Pay attention. This is as serious as it gets as a threat to the national security of the United States. And the executive branch, which is supposed to uphold the laws of the United States, is utterly failing to do so. If there were any justice in this world, of course, they wouldn't be in office in the first place, because they're only there because of a massive threat, theft of the election of 2020, where Trump cleaned their clock. And they're worried he's going to do it again. Well, what's happening here now in Pennsylvania is another illustration of how utterly irresponsible are the Democrats. John Fetterman. This is a guy who, so far as I can tell, totally unqualified to be running for the United States Senate. He's never held a responsible job in his life. Not only that, but was he coddled by his parents? He's a rich kid covered with tattoos, but he suffered a stroke. Listen to this. Pennsylvania Democrat Senate candidate John Fetterman continued to try and hide from voters after suffering a near fatal stroke. But Fetterman just got more bad news. He weakly agreed to maybe debate once at the end of October with Dr. Oz. But the fact is that despite aiding and abetting the Fetterman campaign and covering up the true state of Fetterman's health and cognitive impairment since his stroke in May, some mainstream media are drawing a line in the sand. Believe it or not, the Washington Post issued an editorial declaring Fetterman must release his medical records and agree to multiple debates. The first, before early voting starts on September 19th, that would be today, in order to prove he's physically and mentally fit to serve in the U.S. Senate. The campaign's response to questions about Mr. Fetterman's health is to point to a doctor's note released more than 14 weeks ago saying he should be able to campaign and serve in the U.S. Senate without a problem if he takes his medications and exercises. The editorial board wrote, that's not good enough. Mr. Fetterman is asking voters for a 6-year contract without giving them enough information to make sound judgments about whether he's up for such a demanding job, the editorial continues. We have called for full disclosure of health records from candidates for federal office, including Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and we believe Mr. Fetterman should release records for independent review. A video of a recent Fetterman approach helped showed why Fetterman and his handlers are desperate to keep him off the debate stage. He can't. He jumbled his words, spoke haltingly with massive pauses, and simply could not form coherent sentences. It's embarrassingly bad. But bear in mind, the Democrats are doing in Pennsylvania what they've done for the entirety of the United States. We have a president, in my opinion, a fake president, a pseudo president, which even calls into question the legitimacy of the actions he's taken since becoming president, who is cognitively incompetent, not equal to the job. Everyone knows it. The Democrats know it just as much as the Republicans. Any objective observer concludes this guy is completely incompetent. Well, they want to replicate in Pennsylvania what they've done in Washington, D.C. They want a completely, hopelessly incompetent candidate to run for the Senate. I don't think they're going to get away with it. I do believe they're going to make every effort they possibly can in order to steal the election or forestall the election of 2024, lest Donald Trump clean their clock again, which there's every reason to expect he will do, just as he did in 2016 with Hillary Clinton. And by the way, we just have strings of, you know, Democrats protesting Trump to be an illegitimate president. I mean, we lived through four years of that. And now they want to claim that anyone who protests what happened in 2020 is wrong, to be a criminal act. I mean, we have been played too many times by these Democrats. It's completely disgusting. My suspicion is, my best guess, they're going to try either another pandemic, another lockdown, so that all voting has to be done by mail, or they're going to go for a war with Russia. And remember, we had that report now right off the bat from Rand. And I believe this is totally legitimate, the idea that the U.S. planned to drain EU resources to prop up its own economy. It was reported in a Swedish news outlet describing itself as anti-globalist, humanist, pro-freedom, and independent, where an English language version was released. The paper claimed it obtained a classified document signed by Rand titled Weakening Germany, Strengthening the U.S. The paper, which was allegedly produced in January, outlined a scenario for how the U.S. could help its struggling economy by draining resources from its European allies. The purported plot involved goading Russia into attacking Ukraine, which would force the EU to impose sanctions on Russia and decouple their economies from Russian energy, where the resulting damage to the EU member states, especially Germany, would undermine EU's political power and potential for pursuing policies independent of the U.S. and would trigger an outflow of capital and skilled labor from Europe to the U.S. This
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. Time is over. your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Let me add a few stories about what's going on in Ukraine. This is really quite crucial, in my opinion. Vladimir Putin is fighting a fight on behalf of the entirety of the world. For Jacob Rawstein to declare Putin to be an enemy of the New World Order and that the New World Order cannot move forward without Ukraine. U.S. hesitant to provide Ukraine with longer-range missiles. For good reason. This comes from antiwar.com, which is right on top of so many of these issues. Russia has warned that providing Ukraine with longer range weapons would make the U.S. a party to the conflict. In my opinion, by the way, we are already a party to the conflict. U.S. military officers have been apprehended. They're prisoners of war, been giving advice and training to the Ukrainian army. Weapons galore. Look at the billions of dollars of support we're sending to Ukraine. How can there be any doubt whether or not the U.S. is a party to the conflict? I think, therefore, what we're talking about is in a more precise technical fashion that would lead the United States to be vulnerable to a military response by Russia. The Biden administration is hesitant to give Ukraine the longer-range missiles it's asking for, as Russia has warned, providing such arms would make the U.S. a party to the conflict. Ukraine has asked the U.S. for Army tactical missile systems, which has a range of about 190 miles, significantly farther than anything Washington has provided Kiev up to this point. The systems the U.S. has sent already are currently equipped with missiles that can hit targets up to 50 miles an hour. So this is nearly four times greater. The New York Times reported Saturday President Biden is resisting Ukraine's calls to send the arms. The report cited senior aides to Biden who said the president was told by the Pentagon the benefits of sending Ukraine these missiles would be minimal, leading him to conclude it wasn't worth the risk of provoking Moscow, as though he concludes anything. The man's incompetent of reasoning. The Russian Foreign Ministry has warned the U.S. sending longer-range missiles to Ukraine would cross a red line and make the U.S. a direct party to the conflict. Under such a scenario, we will be forced to respond appropriately, said Maria Zakharova. And believe me, you better take those words to heart. The U.S. appears to have heeded the Russian warning, at least for now. NBC reported senior Pentagon officials are opposed to giving Ukraine these systems and that the administration has held off on the request over fears it could provoke a dangerous response from Moscow. Military officials told NBC that the U.S. was afraid that the system could be used to target Russian territory and provoke a wider war. Of course, that would be the purpose, obviously. It's possible the U.S. could send Ukraine these systems in the future, as the administration has escalated its involvement in the conflict throughout the fighting. U.S. official told the Times they recognize that Russian President Putin would have likely pushed back had they given Ukraine the support it receives today at the outset of the war. A U.S. official told reporters Friday sending these is not on the table at this time, but added that battlefield dynamics can change, and as their needs evolve, the types of assistance evolve, where the very idea of sending them these weapons is outrageous. Meanwhile, and this is very much the heart of the matter, what's going on, from Alexander Rubenstein on the Gray Zone, Zelensky and NATO plan to transform post-war Ukraine into a big Israel. By the way, I'm convinced somebody's listening into the show, by going directly here to the studio. I just ask you to mute yourself, because we're getting all this background noise. Just mute yourself, please. The NATO-backed Atlantic Council has proposed apartheid Israel as a blueprint for a hyper-militarized Ukraine. The paper was authored by Obama's former ambassador to Tel Aviv, now an Israeli spy tech consultant. Just 40 days after Russia's military campaign began inside Ukraine, Ukrainian President Zelensky told reporters that in the future, his country would be like a big Israel. The following day, one of Israel's top promoters in the Democrat Party published an op-ed in NATO's official think tank exploring how that could be executed. Zelensky made his prediction while speaking to reporters on April 5th, rejecting the idea that Kiev would remain neutral in future conflicts between NATO, the European Union, and Russia. According to Zelensky, his country would never be like Switzerland, which coincidentally has abandoned its Napoleon-era tradition of non-alignment by sanctioning Russia in response to the February incursion. We cannot talk about Switzerland of the future, the president informed reporters. We will definitely become a big Israel with its own face. For those wondering what a big Israel would actually look like, Zelensky quickly elaborated on his disturbing prophecy. We will not be surprised that we have representatives in the armed forces or the National Guard, in all institutions, supermarkets, cinemas. There will be people with weapons, Ukraine's president said, predicting a bleak existence for his citizens. I'm sure our security issue will be number one in the next 10 years. Though the web post was based on comments Zelensky made to reporters, the president's office mysteriously excised a section of his remarks, which he declared a future Ukraine would not be absolutely liberal European. Instead, along with his vision for a heavily militarized Ukraine, the post emphasized Zelensky's readiness to join the NATO already tomorrow. For NATO's power brokers, however, Zelensky's intimated willingness to join the military alliance was perhaps the least remarkable aspect of his statement. Instead, within 48 hours of his comments, the Atlantic Council, NATO's semi-official think tank in Washington, published a roadmap exploring how to transform Ukraine into a big Israel, authored by Daniel P. Shapiro, a former U.S. ambassador to Israel under President Obama. Surprise, surprise. The document posited that the two embattled countries share more than you might think. Just as former U.S. Secretary of State Alexander Haig presented Israel as the largest American aircraft carrier in the world that cannot be sunk, Shapiro put forward a vision of Ukraine as a hyper-militarized NATO bastion whose national identity would be defined by its ability to project U.S. power against Russia. Despite Israel's reluctance to join the Western sanction campaign against Russia, it has aided Ukraine militarily, sending two large shipments of defensive equipment since February of this year. In the past, however, Israel's support for Ukraine in its fight against Russia has been more than defensive. Back in 2018, over 40 human rights activists petitioned the Israeli High Court of Justice to stop arming Ukraine after members of the neo-Nazi Azov Battalion were caught brandishing Israeli-made weapons. Israel's Haaretz noted at the time, the Azov emblems are well-known National Socialist ones. Its members use a Nazi salute and carry swastikas and SS insignia. One militia member says in an interview, he's fighting Russia because Putin is a Jew. Zelensky, a Ukrainian Jew, was apparently unperturbed by Israel's enlarged arming of Nazi elements in his country. 1 year after his 2019 election, he made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to launch what he called a prayer for peace and to attend an event entitled Remember the Holocaust to Fight Anti-Semitism. Ahead of the junket, Zelensky heaped praise on Israeli society, remarking in an interview that Jews managed to build a country to elevate it without anything except people and brains, and that Israelis are a strong, united, powerful people. And despite being under the threat of war, they enjoy every day. I've seen it. Happy birthday, Netanyahu. I wish you and the Jewish people good health and the strength to face all the challenges of the rapidly changing world at a time like this. Old loyal friends are more valuable than ever. Hashtag Ukraine and hashtag Israel have a friendship such as this, coming from Zelensky. There are many countries in the world that can protect themselves, but Israel, such a small country, can not only protect itself, but facing external threats can respond, Zelensky said, adding he had visited Israel many times. In a birthday message later that year to Israel's then Prime Minister, Bibi Netanyahu, he commented that old loyal friends are more valuable than ever. Ukraine and Israel have a friendship such as this. Since the escalation in fighting between Kiev and Moscow in February of this year, dozens of Israelis have traveled to Ukraine to join the country's foreign legion. More and more Israeli soldiers are showing up in Ukraine ready to fight against the Russian army. Another tweet. In August, the Canadian government backed Kiev independence published an investigation, the government-backed Kiev Independent, that's a Canadian publication, published an investigation accusing Ukraine's Foreign Legion of stealing arms and goods as well as carrying out sexual harassment and other forms of abuse. Meanwhile, Zelensky has continually heaped praise on Tel Aviv, especially after an Israeli Supreme Court decision to lift restrictions on citizens traveling to Ukraine. The rule of law and respect for human rights is exactly what distinguished distinguishes a true developed democracy, the Ukrainian president tweeted the following July, as though it were exemplified in Ukraine to any degree whatsoever, or even in Israel for that matter. A hyper-militarized apartheid state appears to be the model for Ukraine. By April of 2022, Zelensky's admiration for the Israeli state had apparently reached new heights. Immediately following his declaration that Ukraine would soon become a big Israel, Washington's former ambassador to Tel Aviv, David B. Shapiro, published a blueprint for Zelensky to achieve that dream at the Washington, D.C.-based NATO-sponsored Atlantic Council. By adopting their country's mindset to mirror aspects of Israel's approach to chronic security challenges, Ukrainian officials can tackle critical national security challenges with confidence and help to build a similarly resilient state. Shapiro, an Atlantic Council distinguished fellow, wrote, well, there's more, of course, to this, but it's very revealing. For those of you who follow these matters, it's long been established that the overwhelming majority of residents of present-day Israel are not descendants of the tribe of Judah, but rather are Khazarians, or descendants of the Khazarian region of what is now Ukraine. So returning to Ukraine would be a return to the homeland, the place of their birth, or of their legacy for most of the occupants of Israel, which also, of course, has the ironic aspect that since the Palestinians are bona fide Semites, but these Khazarians are not, Israel turns out to be the foremost practitioner of anti-Semitism in the world today. I have more to report, but I want to open the lines to callers. Perhaps whoever has been on the line the whole time would like to join. The number 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Please call in to address any of these issues. But I do wish, if you're just listening to the call by going directly here to the station, that you would mute your mic. Because we're getting, a lot of feedback. It sounds like a wind blown in the background. We do have the lines open. A key source of the dossier, by the way, the Steele dossier, has confirmed that he was being paid by the FBI for years. This is just more proof. The whole thing, going after Trump, which was Hillary Clinton's brainchild, was all phony and fabricated. We've known it forever. But the fact is that the evidence continues to grow. We have a call for area code 802. Caller, give us your first name and your state and join the conversation. 802.
802, Mr. Jim Fetzer. I am so grateful. I love you so much. You bring us so much news and information and truth. This is Christopher from Northern Vermont, Greenheart One in the chat room, and I have some good news to present. On Saturday, it was the 235th anniversary of the signing of the United States Constitution. And we read the Constitution, the amendments, and the articles at the Vermont State House lawn. And we opened and closed the event with prayers of praise. And so I just wanted to let you know that the good news, we were sending this energy. And even though the attendance was sparse, the energy was filled, and we were channeling our prayers to the golden gilded dome that is atop with Demeter, aka Ceres, the goddess of cereal. And we were binding all of these demonic spirits. And then we had a wonderful Christian band playing at the Valley Bible Church that same day in East Middlebury. And so we are working hard to promote Operation Great Awakening, the global revival of faith, family, freedom, and firearms around the world. And so this is a grassroots movement, and I give so much praise and gratitude to Mr. Jim Fetzer and all of our Revolution friends, freedomslips.com, and all of those concerned, especially the soul of our founder of our station, Mr. Mike Nighthawk Ringley, and his beloved widow, Elizabeth, sending so many prayers of love and thanks. And so I encourage everybody to go to revolution.radio or freedomslips.com. Brings you to the same place. Please make a small donation to keep freedom of the airwaves and global internet radio alive and functioning. This is 100% listener-supported radio. There are no commercial advertisements whatsoever. I thank you, and I bless you, and I am so grateful. Thank you, Mitchell Buck, Mr. Producer. Thank you, Mr. James Fetzer, Professor James Fetzer, retired Marine. Thank you for all of your efforts. We are keeping all of you in our prayers. May the Holy Father bless you. Thank you so very much.
Chris, those are just wonderful and very appropriate comments. How do the midterms look from your perspective in Vermont? Have you got a lot of people in Vermont who want to support the Democrats and Joe Biden, or are they sick and tired of the destruction of America that's been taking place since he came into office?
Well, first of all, our ballot rolls are completely dirty. They're about 30% corrupted. Secondly, we have a wonderful candidate for the United States Senate. His name is Gerald Malloy, deploymalloy.com. That's deploymalloy.com, M-A-L-L-O-Y. He is a 22-year Army veteran, and then he worked for the DOD for another 20 years. However, there is great skepticism as to whether he might be deep state. For example, on Saturday, before I gave the benediction to our event, I noted that our flag was at half-mast for the death of the Queen of England, and I noted that it was inappropriate. And Gerald came up to me after the event, and he said, well, I love the Queen, and I have no problem with that. She was a great woman. So I am personally endorsing an independent candidate. His name is Mark Koester, C-O-E-S-T-E-R, Mark Koester. He is a lumberjack, and he's running also for United States Senate. And Patrick Leahy is finally retiring from United States Senate. He's been there for almost 50 years. And the next jerk off, who's our United States Senator, Welch, he's trying to become the senator now. So we don't really know what the real contingent is, because as we did all of these parades and marches, we found so many Vermonters who were not even registered to vote. So it's really uncertain.
Brian, could you mute Chris? I'm just really delighted you've called in. I think you've made wonderful points, and your praise for Revolution Radio is completely appropriate. Is there anything else you'd like to add? I mean, the misery being inflicted on the United States by this administration is just beyond belief. Is it being felt in Vermont?
Yes, there's one final thing I will add, and then I will disconnect, or Mitchell can disconnect me. I encourage every human being across the globe, please continue to pray. This is a global resurgence and revival. I call it Operation Great Awakening. Family, family values, faith, freedom, and firearms. Everybody, please, please keep praying, because the prayers are heard and the energy has an effect. And so I thank you so much, and I love you so much, so I will disconnect now. Thank you, Mr. Jim Fetzer. Please proceed.
Chris, well, thank you so much for that wonderful call. We do have another caller on the line, Brian in Missouri. Brian, join us.
Yes, you know, all these elections, I just think back to these Dominion voting machines and the tribe that controlled both the Republican and Democratic parties. I'm not optimistic, I'll be honest. And you were talking about the Holocaust earlier, and this was something Mike King pointed out in one of his articles, and I would guess Camp Randall Stadium holds, what, maybe 100,000 people, Jim? Your Wisconsin Badgers Stadium, how many does that hold?
Yeah, I think less than 100,000, but close. Go ahead.
Okay, well, if you take 100,000 times 60, you get 60 million. So if you look at 60 football stadiums of Jewish victims that went through a three-car garage gas chamber facility with one chimney, and they were able in 2 or 3 years to empty 60 football stadiums. I mean, it just becomes beyond ludicrous. And then, of course, the fact that Warburg owned Auschwitz-Birkenau. Why didn't they just go to Warburg and say, you know, we're losing all these people. Can you please shut off the spigot?
So those Brian, are stand the points by. I we'll want be to make. Right back. We'll be right back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Ah. join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Brian's with me. Brian, let me ask, did you sign in early so you could listen to the show directly and then get on to speak? I mean, I appreciate your enthusiasm for the show, but we got background noise there, and I just wondered if that was a source.
No, it wasn't me. I was listening right on the Freedom Slips off my computer, and then I got on the phone here just, you know, a few minutes ago. So
okay.
It wasn't me.
Good. Go ahead, Brian. Thank you.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, pretty much what I had to say about it. When you get into Holocaust, it really trips my trigger. And part of it is I went to a past lives hypnotism session where I paid $25 with a bunch of people. And she hypnotized us and took us into a past life. And I come out in this, you know, city street and all the cars are from the 30s. And she says, look down at your shoes. And they were a woman's pair of shoes. And so I ended up at Brecht's Garden, I think, in this past life regression. And I'm there when Chamberlain had, you know, had the, you know, Peace for Our Times where he turned over Czechoslovakia. And I'm literally hearing the din of all these people in this regression. You know, I'm seeing it and I'm hearing them and I'm talking to Himmler. I'm talking to Goebbels. I go into Hitler's bedroom. And so what they showed me was in that past life, I was a Nazi wife. And I saw my death. I saw myself in the basement of this place, and this GI comes down. They even showed me his name. And the neighbors turned us in because we were Nazis. And he shot me first, and my husband's on the left. And my last thoughts were, gee, he shot me first. Like he was supposed to shoot my husband first. And those things affect you because growing up, we were under all this artillery bombardment. I always slept in the basement. In our home growing up, going to high school, I had the room in the basement. When I went to college, I slept in the basement of the house. So it's things from that past life that carried over to this lifetime. So anyway, I thought you'd find that interesting.
Well, I'm not quite sure how to make of that. Mitchell, would you like to comment on what Brian's sharing with us here? Mitchell, are you here, my friend? So, yeah, Brian, yeah, go ahead. Did you hear Brian's recounting of his experience with hypnosis?
Yes, I did. Well, I believe we cross paths in many lives, so anything is possible today, in all honesty. We live in a time that's recycling of the same energy, you know, that was led up to the Great War, World War II, I should say. No, I shouldn't say Great War because that's a description of World War I many times. But World War II is, you know, we're looking on the cusp of World War III. You know, there's, of course, Azerbaijan and Armenia, along with Ukraine, and was it Kazakhstan and Turkestan were having border skirmishes also. I don't know if you were aware of that.
And, of course, taking place right now, you're talking about.
Yes, right now. And then, of course, you know, Biden just said, well, the U.S. will and our military will defend Taiwan. So the stage is set, you know, just the question of what will be the trigger. Or maybe how will we stumble into major conflict? Maybe we're already in war. But how will we stumble into that major conflict? I don't know.
Do you think this is the way they want to circumvent the midterm elections? Tell me, how do you think it's going to play out?
No, I don't think it's anything about that. I just think that the midterm elections aren't really something they're worried about because they control essentially enough of the Democrats and enough of the Republicans. When push comes to shove, the rhinos will gather with the Democrats and vote, you know, for the deep state and the Federalist program, so to speak. But the war is it's inevitable, I guess, just because if you think about before 2019 and, you know, essentially in 2020 before the COVID-19 virus, for a year, we've been trying to figure out what they were going to use to reset the economy because it was essentially, you know, a bubble looking for a black swan. So once they had COVID, they were well on their way to not only resetting the economy and reshaping the economy, but also society. Yeah. Wow. What's that coming from? So, yes. Okay,
Brian,
Jim.
Brian, further thoughts of yours, Brian, you'd like to share?
Well, I mean, Jim, you wouldn't want me to share a lot of that kind of stuff with the hypnosis, because I did that for 4 hours on Mitchell's program, two programs, and he got attacked by the dark and he said, I can't have you on anymore. So you don't want me sharing too much of that hypnosis kind of stuff. So
how interesting. No, I was unaware that you'd been on with Mitchell addressing this very point. And I guess,
I can say this. He's right as far as everything's set up for this World War, you know, III thing. But the difference now is, and I've talked about it before, and you can find this kind of information on Rants and some of these other, you know, networks. But, you know, the 26,000 year cycle hit here December 21st of 2012, and we have the energy of the central sun of the galaxy overhead now. And that is part of why, you know, we won't have all these bad things. I mean, it looks really bad now, but there's going to be some turning point and the good guys are going to win. And then we get the golden age of mankind. We come out of the Kali Yuga and go into the age of Aquarius, and we're just waiting for it. It was supposed to happen December 21st, 2012, but the dark has stopped it with all their cell towers and 5G and everything they're doing to prevent it. And it's going to eventually happen. So I'm a little more optimistic than Mitchell is on it. I think we're going to be fine. It may not seem that way, but things, you have to admit, there's been a lot of stuff exposed since December 21st, 2012. And that's what that quantum mechanical energy does, is it exposes a lot. So anyway.
Well, Brian, thank you for all of that. Paul, join the conversation.
Okay, a couple of things real quick. So, Brian, I think I want to recommend a little bit less ayahuasca and a little bit more coffee. Maybe get you all leveled out there. what I would like to say is, in my past life regression hypnosis, I saw myself as Hitler, actually putting the screws to 6 million Jews. So, you know, who knows what to make of all the past life stuff. Jim, regarding your reporting of the story of the guy with the Polish surname who was released from prison because he murdered his wife and cut off her head.
Yeah.
You know, some guys deserve a second chance here. You know, I kind of feel like that was a crime of passion. And as long as, you know, members of the public don't marry the guy and threaten to leave him, I think they're probably going to be okay. In fact, we could use his sort of, shall we say, ruthless get-things-done spirit down at the border. So they should probably appoint him, you know, maybe head of the Border Patrol or something. you know, he's going to take care of some business down there, man. And the other thing I'll say to Chris, the caller from Vermont, I know he's, you know, president of your fan club, but maybe you might want to inform him this notion of like praying. Okay, well, let's assume he's praying to God, the Christian God that we're all taught exists there. That doesn't seem to be proper, Chris, because if everything is God's will and we're in God's kingdom and God controls everything that happens, then why would we pray against what's happening? Obviously, what's happening is what God wants to happen, right, Chris? So why would we pray for anything different? If anything, we should pray for it to get worse. Doesn't that make more sense, Chris? If it's God's will and it's God's kingdom and God controls everything here and we're just like, you
well,
know,
Paul,
his grateful servants down here. Huh?
Paul.
How about that?
Paul.
All right, I couldn't resist. I'm tired of Christian retards. And I am tired of constitutionalists. The Constitution means nothing. This is a war. That's all it is. And by the way, the Articles of Confederation were far superior than the Constitution. Okay? So take your Constitution and shove it in Vermont, you know.
Paul, why don't you elaborate on that? Why do you think the Articles of Confederation were superior? I'm curious.
Okay, because it didn't set up a taxing aristocracy with essentially unlimited federal power, okay? This has been very well covered by Mike Gatti. Many other researchers have brought out the same thing. I knew this difference probably starting back in the 90s when I started to listening to guys talking about the law, the common law, the Constitution, the history of this country, the Articles of Confederation. Lysander Spooner wrote a great book about the Constitution of No Authority. This is kind of basic 101 when you're being introduced to the law, just like Frederick Bastiat, when he wrote a book called The Law, which talked about, you know, plunder, essentially. So what we have set up in this country is exactly what you see. It's essentially an extension of the British banking aristocracy, which has been controlled by Jews for centuries. They more or less have unlimited taxing authority. And as you found out, Jim, when you go into court, the Constitution doesn't apply to you. I know you'd like to think it does, and a lot of people do. You walk into these courts, these British Admiralty courts. The Constitution does not help you, and it doesn't apply to you.
Well, Chris wants to come back for a rebuttal. Chris, go ahead. Give us your further thoughts.
Thank you so much, Professor Jim Fetcher. And I am so grateful to Paul from California. I have loved all of his commentaries over the past several years. And while, oh my gosh, one of my cats is dragging in a mole in his mouth.
I've been a cat guy my whole life, Chris, so I like cats. I've had as many as three at a time. Go ahead.
I'm going to kick him out right now. Mr. Jim Fetcher, I didn't want any more cats, and I found all of these cats from northern Vermont to Florida, and I now have 9 homeless cats living in my house. They are puking and peeing and destroying my premises, and I need to set up a partition. But my point is that while I cannot incriminate myself, I may or may not have drank the jungle juice, the brew from Peru, a.k.a. ayahuasca, the most powerful hallucinogen in the world, more than 8 times. And I drank these visions back in 2011 and 2012. And not only did it almost kill me, but it almost killed everybody in our meditation group. So, Paul, I say to you, I'm not drinking it anymore, and I'm trying to stay sober. And I don't remember exactly, but let's bring it back to Paul, and let us bring the rebuttal, because these words, we are praying. Jesus is the holy one, and it's an allegory, it is a symbol, and it is a truth, because we need to stop shedding blood. We need to stop sacrificing all of these animals. We need to stop shedding. Jesus was the last sacrifice, and he purchased all of our souls. So everybody has a soul. And our soul has eternal life. And I love everybody so much. So, Paul from California, do you believe that you have a soul? Because I understand that Mr. Professor Jim Fetcher is an atheist, and I love him so very much. But, Paul, do you believe that we have souls, and our souls are infinite, immortal, and eternal? I will stop now. God bless you.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for calling back. I don't know if we need to pursue theological issues. Of course, technically, I'm an agnostic rather than an atheist, where atheists and theists are alike in both affirming to believe in or to know of the existence of God or of the non-existence of God, which appears to me to be an issue beyond reason and scientific investigation, and therefore I'm in a state of agnosticism. I neither declare the existence of God nor deny the existence of God. It appears to me to be an issue about which we can never have a resolution on the basis of objective scientific evidence, and is therefore an article of faith, as every rabbi, priest, and pastor would agree. It's an article of faith, meaning you believe it in spite of the absence of evidence or even of the presence of absence of the contrary in relation to what's classically known as a problem of evil, Paul. You're, I'm sure, familiar. If God is all-powerful and all-knowing and all-good, then why is there so much evil in the world, which requires a considerable expansion of the theology here about how God would create a world and then let human beings run their own course using their own free will and bring about evil. Yeah.
You just got done saying you weren't going to engage in a theological discussion, and then all of a sudden you started to go. And
fair enough, Paul. Fair enough. Yeah, go ahead. Your thoughts.
Well, okay. So first of all, Chris, seriously, no hard feelings. I get a little passionate now and then, and sometimes I feel like I want to
I want to make some good radio. You know, that's my egotistical assessment of my contributions to calling in shows. But yeah, I really do feel most of the things that I conveyed to you. The fact of the matter is I am open to all these things, spiritual and the soul. I've heard a lot of very interesting radio shows about this, read some very interesting things. I have a couple of books on past lives and so on. It's all very interesting to me, and I'm not dismissing it. But I just don't think it enters into the picture right now. It's kind of like if a black man comes up to you with a knife, right, and he's threatening to take your whatever it is. Let's say that he wants to take your little girl, okay, and you have a gun. Well, I'm not going to ask him, does he believe that he has a soul? No, I'm just going to shoot his black ass on the spot, just like we should deport all these Mexicans and blacks on the spot. All people that are coming to this country illegally, which means they did not go to the consulate or the embassy in their country and obtain any sort of a visa, and that's like 99.9% of these people we see here, they are all subject to immediate deportation under the existing laws. So what we have here is two enemies, the enemy that controls our government, and the government itself has become our enemy by proxy. Okay, we're praying our way out of this. This Constitution is going to do nothing, and we can't vote our way out of this. This is another white man get pissed off and they decide temporarily that if this is God's or not God's plan, then we have to win. And I don't know about you, but I like winning and I hate losing. Racial war, that's all it is. You cannot see that. If you don't open your eyes to see the racial war, then you just don't deserve to live among pieces. Hard-working, racially conscious white people. That's not my background noise, by the way, Jim.
Yeah, Paul, I don't know. We're getting massive background noise we have during the whole show, and I've been unable to sort it out, nor has Mitchell been able to solve the problem. In spite of it, add a few more thoughts about how do you believe that the Democrats are going to circumvent the midterms where they're going to be wiped out? They can't let that happen. How are they going to work around it?
You know, I really have no idea and therefore no valuable contributions. I think we all can just speculate, which is one of the things that you do and other people do as well. I mean, you read news stories and you comment on them and you do that quite well. And you maintain a loyal following. I mean, I disagree with you on many, many things, but I'm a loyal follower of yours because in the main, you're a man on top of it. And also you're a man of character. Unlike, for example, people that sold you out, like Dave Gaharie, among others, and Alex Jones, you know, these are broad and chills.
I love all of Paul's, discriminations against Mr. Jim Fetzer and all of his, the morphogenetic field, as long as we are pumping our positive vibrations into this morphogenetic field, it doesn't matter whether we believe in God or love or not. But Jesus is alive. He is risen. He is alive today. And to this very moment, he still feels the shame and pain of his crucifixion, and he loves every single person that is dedicated to him, and nothing that comes to me or any single person does not go through Jesus first. So he allows it, and this is all for our own purification. Now let me close with this. The election is the one thing that can unite all Democrats, everybody in the country, Democrats, Republicans, independents, because forensic election, 100% audits, we need hand ballots, hand counting, get rid of the machines. This is the one issue that can unite all of America, and I think maybe we need to make this our stand. You know? So back to you, Jim. What do you think about that?
Well,
100% hand counting, get rid of the machines.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. We've got to get rid of electronic voting machines. We need to get rid of gerrymandered districts. adopt the Iowa model of a panel of retired judges. We need to get private money out of federal elections. Chris, we even need to restore the draft. I know that sounds odd, but once Nixon abandoned the draft, families no longer felt they had a decision in a stake in decisions of war and peace because their sons and daughters weren't going to be at risk. I believe therefore
100% support the draft. Every 18-year-old needs to go into 1 year of service. Yes, sir.
Very good, Chris. And I think it could be with an option. It could be with an option to have an alternative service for a civilian, as it were. I'll be right with you. Chris, thank you so much for calling back again or for adding those further thoughts. Paul, yours. We've only got a few minutes, but I want you to add a few thoughts of yours.
Well, the other mental note I had made to make contributions in the form of a quip was earlier you talked about in a disparaging manner Israel being a hyper militarized apartheid state, and my quip was going to be that sounds right to me. I don't think we can survive unless we become basically that. So I am sort of in agreement with you about the draft, and of course. You know, today's young people, if you're looking around, and believe me, it's as readily apparent in California as anywhere, most young people are completely directionless and lost, and they just don't have much knowledge or discipline, and I don't think there's anything wrong with, instilling, physical training and, cooperation, brotherhood, and so many of the things that the military is capable of doing if it's used for the right purpose.
Paul, I agree with you 100%. It can make a great difference to society by giving a sense of discipline, responsibility, training. I want to thank everyone who called in, Brian, Chris, Paul, and I want to encourage you to spend as much time as you can with your family and friends because we do not know how much time we have left. Hello.
Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
a dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and